I spent about 4 months at his residence in upstate New York. Then I moved to Santa Cruz, California, to teach at the great yogi Lama Tarchin Rinpoche's Dharma Center. When I first came to the United States, I only knew a few words of English, like hello and goodbye. Still, I was fascinated with meeting people and finding out about how they lived and how they viewed the world. I ended up staying at Lama Tarchin's center for 3 years. It was an exciting and interesting experience. I gave teachings at a Shraddha, or College of Buddhist Studies, which ran for about a month every year, and I also gave informal teachings to students who lived there or visited from time to time. Some very good interpreters were provided to translate into English as I spoke Tibetan. During this time, I learned more and more about how people speak and understand English. The translators were very skilled, but despite their abilities, I didn't feel satisfied that the students were really getting what I was teaching. It wasn't the translator's fault. The problem was really the way language works. For your listeners to get the true experience of what you teach, you need to have your own voice. You need to select your own words and phrases, and not have someone else choose the words for you. No matter how good your translator is, if you don't personally choose your own words so as to say what you really mean, the translation will distort the meaning to some degree, and the meaning won't be received by the listeners in a clear and powerful way. So I thought a lot about how to deal with this problem. In 1999, I moved to the San Francisco Bay Area. While living there, I gathered with students in the Napa Valley 4 times a year and taught meditation with an excellent translator. As I listened to people's questions and my translator's way of expressing my thoughts, I understood the English language more and more and realized how powerful it could be in conveying the teachings. But also, I knew more and more that the full message of what I was trying to communicate wasn't really getting across. I needed to speak more directly with people and develop my own spiritual language in English. So for the next few years, except for the Napa Valley retreats, I kept mostly to myself. Working with only one person, Josh Godin, as my assistant, I began writing a book. I still didn't speak English very well, yet I started to write a book in English. It was crazy, but I was determined. I told Josh that by publishing a book, we could achieve 2 valuable goals. We could develop a very natural, experiential language for clearly expressing the teachings of meditation. And even more important, we could share these teachings effectively with others. During this time, while I worked on that book, mostly I simply lived quietly at home, practicing meditation and deepening my meditation experience. Sometimes I went out to coffee shops and other public places to see how people spent their time. I watched TV news, not so much for the news, but to improve my English and to observe how people perceive themselves and the world. I spent some time with a few students. I pored over the texts I had studied during my training. I sang Vajra songs. Slowly, Josh and I compiled transcripts of talks I had given about different types of meditation into a manuscript that I titled Power of Meditation. It was informative, yet it still contained vocabulary that made it only understandable to readers who were already familiar with these types of teachings. I knew that readers who were unfamiliar with the subject matter would find the book hard to follow. After working on that manuscript for some time, I began to realize that there was something more that I needed to say, and that I had to say it in a more direct way. I had the aspiration to write a guide to the entire path of meditation in one book, from the moment the reader begins this journey up to the time of becoming an advanced meditator, and gradually, all the way to complete enlightenment. With this inspiration, I put that first manuscript aside and began to work on a new book. That was the beginning of Our Pristine Mind. A personal turning point for me occurred between 2004, the time I first began work on this book, and 2008. Previously, with all my studies, I had understood the Buddhist teachings intellectually, but I did not feel my experiential insight was anywhere near as profound as it could be.